Hallelujah. You are all welcome to this morning's session of career and business seminar of our Laws of Fruitfulness December seminar. Sincerely, I think the Lord is here this morning. Amen. The Lord is here this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The prayers confirmed that. And I want you to open up your spirit this morning because the Spirit of God will be telling you things this morning. Don't be surprised if Pastor Manke begins to teach about marriage. We are not here for marriage. But I want to tell you that the Spirit of God is here. He will tell you something about your career, about your business from the marriage teaching. Don't be surprised if anybody comes up here and starts teaching about the second coming of Christ. I want you to understand that the Spirit of God is here and He will tell you things, specific things, direct things that you need for your business and for your career. So don't switch off when you hear something. Oh, this is not why I came here. Oh, this is not what I'm expecting. Don't expect what you have in your mind. Expect the Spirit of God to speak to you this morning. I sincerely believe that there is something God wants to drop in each and every one of us, with each and every one of us this morning. And please, don't miss your own. Because the truth is that sometimes people are a little bit confused. I was discussing with Yinka yesterday, and we were just talking about that thing. You know, for some people who study their professional courses, it's a lot easier for them finding a career, finding a business path. But for some people who didn't study some professional courses, it becomes difficult going into business. The choice of business, you know, the choice of career sometimes, they are a little bit confused here and there. If you are part of those this morning, I want you to know that you will gain direction this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I also want you to understand that for whatever vocation you've chosen, for whatever business you've chosen, like the prayers this morning, Pastor Kimoto was saying, say the grace to remain in it, whether it is selling or it is not selling, in season and out of season, the grace to remain in it. Praise the Lord. There was a time that being in the banking sector was raining. Everybody wanted to be in the banking sector. It's no longer like that today. It's not basically like that today. Everybody is not, even those inside the banking sector, they are not sure. You understand? So you don't know the business or whatever that will be making the buzz in the next 5 years. That's why when we say you can't plan your future, you can't plan 10 years and everything happens like that. If it does, you're not a blessed man. Because the truth is that the Spirit of God will always direct your footsteps. I'm a living testimony to that. I always tell people, sincerely, I don't know where I'll be in the next 5 years. They will say, what's your 5-year plan? I say, well, I want to get to so-and-so place. But the truth is that from the way I've seen God lead me in life, sincerely, these things I told you, none of them may happen. Or they will happen in a manner that will be beyond what I ever imagined. That's the truth. So I want you to understand that you are in for a good time this morning. Amen. You are in for a time of revelation this morning in the name of Jesus. So having said that, I want to call up our first speaker for today. I want to call up Pastor Banky.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Okay, quickly, let's declare God's word that we always do by the time we want to start teaching God's word. Now I want to let go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Understanding has come to you again this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats. Let's quickly get into the teaching. All right, the Lord is good. Now, if you have your Bibles, can you quickly open to 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to read that portion that we know very well. My short word this morning is titled The Spirit of Excellence. There's something you find. Okay, let's read the scripture first, then we'll start talking. Normally, I like to read a long portion to get my thoughts in context, but for this morning, let me just take a verse because we all know it very well. Verse 9, it said, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Before you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Now I'm going to just stop here, because that's the main thing I want to bring out. The spirit of excellence. This is our business and career session of our laws of fruitfulness. So we are looking at some things slightly differently from what we discuss in the evenings. We'll look at them slightly differently from what we'll talk about in the evenings. Now, the spirit of excellence. Now you notice this verse 9, the Bible says that God has called us to proclaim the excellencies of him. That's our job, to proclaim the excellencies of him. I want to just say something here. God likes, there's something about the Lord and beauty. He likes beautiful things. John the Baptist is not typical of God's appearance. Are you getting my point? Yeah, let's get that clear. The Bible never called him the exact representation of God's nature. It was a word. It was a voice crying in the wilderness. That's why Jesus was careful not to look like John the Baptist. God likes beautiful things. Sometimes people think that you have to separate certain things in life. What I mean is this. There's one church, it's still there. They're changing a bit. But one elderly man I met once when I went to preach somewhere in the north, he said that church was built on poverty. He was referring to a particular denomination. And he's a man, the founder of the church and him, he is senior to the founder of the church, and both of them have been Christians for at least. He knew that man when they were all children, following ministers here and there, going for programs and all of that. He said this church looked like they were built on poverty. As if their problem in life is, let's entrench poverty. Then he turned to another church. He said, which kind of things? Everything, enemy, enemy, enemy. And this man has been a Christian for a long time. So he wasn't joking. He knew what he was talking about. All right? Now, what I want to say is that as much as God excuses some of those things, Bible calls them just, Bible says he overlooks, he frowns at. That's not his nature. Now, why did I refer to the one? Somebody said, maybe is it poverty that's their problem? People think that holiness is opposed to beauty. Unfortunately, it's not like that. Holiness is actually beautiful. It is. That's why the Bible talks about the beauty of holiness. Yes, human beings can corrupt what is beautiful. That is true. Or that is to give you a wrong perception. But actually, deep inside everybody's heart, they know what is beautiful. Hollywood, this fashion industry, they want to try and paint a new picture of beauty. But get close and talk. People know that's not what beautiful is. This is show. This is glamour. So they do things just for the sake of the effect they want to get. There was one Nigerian musician, a girl, a young woman, who somebody decided to confuse. I stumbled into a story once when they were interviewed. Well, the matter was being discussed, so I stumbled into the story somewhere, one of these news media. The girl went and posed nude. In Nigeria, this is not America. We never crazy reach that level. She went and posed nude, almost nude, almost stark naked, and then put the picture on Instagram or Facebook or something. It was a professionally done job. They said she went to the studio and all of that. So when they asked her why, that's where I read the story. That she said that. She's not known. Until now, you don't know. I can't even remember her name. She's not a known figure. She believes she could sing, but that she needs to gain notoriety. Are you getting my point? So somebody now counseled her that you have to do something crazy. What is the crazy thing? Pose nude. You become the talk of town. One, her talk of town, it didn't go far because I don't even know how I stumbled into the gist. But I read the story, I said, God, this girl is very foolish.
okay, now you are posed nude. Now people are talking, supposedly talking about it. I still don't know me your music. Because she said that they said what she needed to do was to do something to attract attention to herself. And she did it. And this, I don't know, I read this story last year. But that, I think it was the year before, early last year. But you know, it don't cool down already. Do you get my point? Almost 2 years later, nothing came out of it. But you know, social media, the picture is permanently out there. And she didn't get anything. Now, why I told the story is that so many of these things people do, it is for a particular gain that they had in mind. They don't believe it's beautiful. When the Toni Braxton showed up on stage, this was on I was a Grammy or something. I can't remember one of those big things anyway. When she showed up on stage, even CNN she ran away from stage, then I don't know what happened after that. She was depressed because everybody said, you really, really smoke something. She was wearing two straps of, what do you call this thing? Like a sash that we put around the neck. She just had like two straps. That was all the clothes she was wearing. Nothing else. Nothing else. When I say nothing else, not any other piece of fabric. Oh, you don't get my point. No other piece of fabric, either under or in front. But what she wanted to draw attention. I'm staying too long here. So please be careful what you see them portray. They have something behind they are trying to do. They don't think it's beautiful. They don't think so. Real beauty, everybody knows it inside. We do. So I'm talking about holiness, therefore. So forget the corruption people try to paint out, you know, as beauty. They know it's not beautiful. They're just trying to, it's a deliberate act, what they call it? A deliberate attempt at corruption. So, in reality, beauty is glory is beautiful. Let me tell you what beauty is. Just watch when flowers bloom. You know, I don't know whether you've seen, I've been to, you know, tropical rainforest is not very beautiful. I don't know why. But I've been to where things are fine, you know, natural, prairie, grass. When I was seven on the Mambila, there are times you will stand and look at what God carved. You want to stand there and just stare on the Mambila, on the plateau, especially on the waterfalls. You just stand and see the cliffs, see grass growing, water falling, you know, flowers blooming. You just want to stand there and say, there is a God somewhere. Are you getting my point? Yeah, there has to be, all right? Look, the truth is that glory is very, what you call holiness is beautiful. Holiness is beautiful. Holiness is excellent. When churches try to merge holiness with what is not beautiful, they have a problem somewhere. The thing about holiness is that if it is there, it attracts attention. It does not repel people. People won't look at you and laugh at you. They may envy you. They may be angry because you are showing them what they are not. But deep inside, they know you are attractive. Holiness is beautiful. Are you getting my point here? There's a reason why I'm emphasizing all of these things. Open to the book of Exodus chapter 28. Remember I said my brief talk is what? The spirit of excellence. Exodus chapter 28. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a problem here. That's the problem with all these smart devices sometimes. He said, then bring, verse 1, then bring to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me. Then he listed their names. Then in verse 2 he said, you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me. Then he went ahead and described everything that they were going to do. I don't have the time now to read it. You go down, verse 5, you shall take the gold and the blue and the purple. These are precious stuff. The blue and the purple and scarlet material and fine linen. You shall make the ephod of gold. Then the materials that will go with them, the work of the skillful workman. That's verse 6. Then told them how to cut it. You shall take two onyx stones and engrave them on them the names of the sons of Israel. Verse 11, as a jeweler engraves a signet, you shall engrave the two stones and set them in filigree settings of gold. He kept on describing, I'm trying to save time, right? That's why I'm reading the way I'm reading. That if you go to verse 15, you shall make a breastplate of judgment, the work of a skillful workman. Please follow that. The work of a skillful workman. Then he kept on describing, please, I'm jumping, like I said, so as to save time. At the end of the day, he summarized everything. All right, let's go down to verse 40. For Aaron's sons also, that was a work, a job of Aaron. So the garment of Aaron. For Aaron's sons, he said, you shall make tunics. You shall also make sashes for them. You shall make caps for them. For glory and for what?
Beauty.
And for what?
Beauty.
Beauty. Let's start reading here. You can read the details of this later. You will see the details that the Lord went through in pointing out what the clothes of these people should look like. And he said it's for glory and for beauty. I told you, holiness is beautiful. You know what this means? What God was saying? If you saw the high priest in Israel then, you knew whatever this guy is wearing is beautiful. It's a pity, when it was not a pity, it was deliberate. The Lord didn't allow photography to be invented at this time. You will have seen the garment of Aaron. You will have nodded and said, this is good. Now, he now said, what is our duty as believers? To represent that excellence. To represent that excellence in everything that we do. That's all. In fact, I think I've essentially finished preaching my message this morning. Everything we do, we must do what? Represent the excellence of God. There's something they used to say. I wanted to say it earlier. Nigerians know when to think Nigerian, right? Yes, that's the way it goes. That is, if you want to buy cable in the market today, everybody's asked for Nigerian cable. It's not about nationalism. Nationalism is good. I'm not saying it's not good. But it's not about nationalism. When people ask for Nigerian cable, they're asking for Nigerian cable because it is strong, it is safe, all right? They don't think it's cheap. When they're asking, they don't think it's cheap. When they compare with some of the, of course, the ones that come from maybe places like Europe and North America, we don't get it here because, well, not like we don't get them, but they're not better than the ones we have, and they will be more expensive because they are imported from good quality areas. They definitely are not better in any way. If it's cable, it's unless we don't make it. We make some of the best cables in the world. Everybody knows it. So the other ones that come to our market, they come from our brothers, the Chinese people. And people usually are careful to say, are you sure? In fact, they now do Chinese ones and write made in Nigeria on it. The natural China man is interesting. Thank God for the ones that are born again and are spiritual. Amen? The natural one. But you see, what I want to emphasize is that, you see, people, Nigerians, like they say, know when to think Nigerian. It is true that we have a lot of mental issues, Kolo mentality, in which many times we equate something being imported with being better. But actually, when it comes to it, if really, do you understand, we make the local ones good, people will go for them. I remember when Dunlop Elite was being exported from Nigeria to Europe. It was certified for use in Europe. It was power issues that made them close down, move their factory to Ghana. I don't know where the factory is now. But then, Michelin MXTE, Dunlop Elite, they were all made in Nigeria. And these were international standard tires. What that means, Ford could buy them and equip and you know, fit their cars, brand new cars, and sell in America. They could sell in Europe. And they were all made in Nigeria. So it's not really always so that we only buy things that are imported preferentially. It's not true. It's not true. It's just that when we don't have, when over a long period, I mean, let me give you an example. You know, before, when I was younger, Taiwan, when you say it's Taiwan, it was the equivalent of it's useless. It's extremely low quality. That was the meaning. It's extremely low quality. But now, the Taiwanese have done something. Their rule and their country, they don't make low quality things. So much that if people go to buy machines and all of that now. They are told to go to Taiwan. If you're looking for high quality, that's, you know, affordable. You head for Taiwan. Of course, you can get from Germany and UK, but those ones are really costlier. Taiwan people, they lost that reputation long ago. They donated it to China. You understand my point? They donated that one to China. Koreans are very funny. When you go to Korea, I know many people that go there to do business. Said if you go there, if you talk any talk like you want some substandard, they will point you to China. It's not too far. Go there. They will literally tell you, go to China. What you have asked for, we don't make. You go to China. So recently, Chinese government is now trying to firm up some of their own standards, even for export. Before, Chinese man allows you to export anything, but you couldn't use it in their country. So I'm going to emphasize something here. Of course, that's why, all right, some of the best phones are from Korea. Samsung doesn't compete on price with the Chinese products. They don't compete on price. They know if you want Chinese product, you go and buy it. They compete with Apple. That's when they rub shoulders. HTC is made in Taiwan. They rub shoulders with Samsung and with Apple. So LG, HTC, Nokia, Apple, those are the guys who stay on top price-wise. And they don't care about your low prices. Why? They know they have done a good thing. No, I'm not emphasizing all of this, just to let us understand that excellence is what is important. One of the worst things that a workman can say is manage it like that. You will never prosper in life like that. You won't. No, pray from now till thy kingdom come. Poverty is your portion. Pastor Banker, are you not cursing people? No, I'm warning them. A workman, you do work for somebody. And his complaint is, manage it like that. Once you use the word manage, it means you understand that it's not good quality. You know one thing the world does now? I don't know how God gave them that wisdom, but it's there. Reviews. You go to Amazon to buy something. I mean, I have done reviews on Amazon many times. I buy something, I like it, or I don't like it. I go back to that page, and write, and later when you check, my review is published. There were some toys I bought for my kids. I scored it 3 stars. Why? Very good, very strong. But after a while, the motor on one side gets weak. So I wrote it for everybody, the whole world to see. If you send me a bad thing, I go to Amazon and write it for you that this rubbish you sold does not work. You know, some Chinese merchants on Alibaba, they do one funny thing. They bribe. They did it to my wife. She had a complaint. They said, okay, they will send her another one, but they should please give them 5 stars. It's a lie. You should never fall for that. Tell that I don't want your goods. Listen, because as believers, everything we are doing, we are relating with the Lord, is watching. The person sold my wife something. My wife now wrote to the fellow that, look, I have a small complaint. This is not good. This is not that. This, you know. The person now answered, okay, no problem. That. I think that he or she, I don't know whether it's he or she, will refund some money that she should please give him or her 5 stars. Because the rating is what lets people know whether your products are good. There's a way when I'm buying on Amazon, there's what I always read the worst rating. There's a reason. Because if you give somebody 5 stars, I know what you are going to say. It's good, it arrived on time, it served the purpose. I don't need to read it. He said, why do you read the 1 star? Because I want to know your complaint. Because some people give 1 star for funny reasons. What's the 1 star? They said to arrive in 2 days, it got there in 2 weeks. So they give the product 1 star. That is the service as 1 star, not the product. I read as much as possible of the 1 stars to see why. So if I see that the 1 stars, 2 stars come from things like when I called the company, they didn't talk to me nicely. You understand? I asked for blue, they gave me red. Is that your problem? Then I mentally withdraw the 1 stars and check the total rating. I hardly buy things that have less than 4-star average. Because it's far. I'm in Nigeria. By the time the thing gets delivered and it gets to me, 1 month will have passed. Because it gets delivered in the U.S., I wait for someone to send it or the shipper to bring it. 1 month will have passed. So I try to get the best. But how do I get it? Is the customer rating. Is the customer rating. How am I saying this? If we are doing business, we are offering services, we are selling products, remember, is a customer rating. I hope you're getting my point here. You must never, if your customer is not willing to manage, God forbid that you should be willing to manage it. Don't make excuses. That's one thing that annoys me. Excuses. Like, it was because that time you came, the weather was hot. So me, your customer, what was I supposed to do about hot weather? Why did you not know the weather was hot? Why were you doing the job when you knew that hot weather? No, of course, most of them are lies. The point is that you must not make excuses. Spirit of excellence, that's what I'm talking about. You offer services, like we said yesterday, that's actually the fact. We're joking about it, about something else. That they say the money's in the comeback. So the drug man, he tries to hook you on drugs. Again, as a businessman, your money is also in what? They come back. Will they come back? Many people have done work for me before, different areas. As the fellow, they said, let me just be free of this man. After this one, he will never see me again. Once I was buying carpet from one man, when I first came to Enugu, the guy had a very bad attitude. So I told him that, let's just finish this deal. Meanwhile, he had the best carpet I could find around. The prices were not bad. I said, let's just finish this deal. I will never come to your shop again. You know what he said? I didn't open my shop because of you. Next time I needed plenty carpets, I drive by Odincha a lot. I just entered the, is it Oka Road? Is that Oka Road? They call that road in Odincha, where they sell carpets. I just drove, entered the place, sat down there, priced my carpets very well. I still knew his shop, I was still driving by the shop, but he told me, did he open it because of me? Very soon, people will not start telling you that somebody is pursuing them from the village. Like they say, the money is in what? They come back. I always tell people that somebody will stumble into your shop, they will stumble into your office, they will stumble into your business premises. But if you are waiting for first timers all the time, you'll be there for a very long time. Oh, you'll be there for a very long time. You know, WhatsApp. To get WhatsApp going, the Sequoia Capitals and the other supporters, they invested a total of like, I can't remember the figures, but less than $50 million. When they sold WhatsApp to Facebook, they paid how many billion? Is it about $19 billion in effect? All right? Something like that. I think about $58 million, something like that. Definitely far less than $100 million was invested in WhatsApp as a company. Sequoia Capital was a main venture capital company that was behind them. So look at that markup. But this is the point. WhatsApp total amount of money spent on advertising, $0. WhatsApp never spent $1 advertising. Not $1. Of the $58 million or so that they spent, nothing went to advertising. Everything was for engineering. The software engineering, hardware engineering, stuff like that, buying servers, maintaining servers, that's all. I still remember I was informed that told me about WhatsApp for the first time. We're downstairs here. We just said, you don't use WhatsApp. I said, what's WhatsApp? You just showed it to me. Do like, pam. Then we send text messages free of charge. Once you're online, as soon as he told me, you don't use WhatsApp, I became an advocate because I needed people to use WhatsApp so I can communicate with them. The whole world started marketing WhatsApp for WhatsApp. Until they had over 1 billion people using it. Facebook looked and said, before somebody buys this thing, Facebook bought WhatsApp not knowing what to do with it. Till now, they don't know what to do with it. They lose, was it last year, they calculated their loss on WhatsApp came to about $300 million. That last year, the year before. The year after they bought WhatsApp, lost about 300. Don't be impressed. Their accounting is very funny. People do accounting in a magical way. Somebody else can redo it now. It will be a profit of $150 million. I don't know how they do it. You understand my point? Okay, they do point. But the point is that they're not making any money from it. Yet. It's not that they are still cooking up what we do with WhatsApp because they had invested $19 billion collecting the company. But the people that started the company used up a total of $58 million and did not spend one kobo on advertisement. Why? The thing was too good. Two of them used to work in Yahoo. And they didn't like the intrusion of adverts. And how do you know who's on Yahoo Messenger? All those kind of things. So why don't you just use the person's phone number? Those are the two principles upon which they built WhatsApp. No adverts. We'll locate you with your phone number. And the thing caught fire. And made them billionaires. I'm talking about the spirit of what? Excellence. Whatever you are doing in life, please, that must be the primary thing. If you are mopping floor, spirit of what? Excellence. There's one thing I tell people. Let me add this one to you. I'm just watching my time. I have just a few minutes left. In life, you ask yourself, what would people need? And my name will come up. As I don't like jack of all trades. Just ask yourself. Once you've located that thing, put excellence into it. You know, I told you once, I've told this illustration a number of times. I went to fix my car. Just down the road here. Then I was driving a 300E. Of course, used 300E. Mercedes-Benz of those days, notoriously unreliable when they are old. So this was one of them. So that time I used to call injector problem. Remember injector? But in Nigeria, we call it injector. That guy was a fuel distributor. That small hub from which, depending on the number of cylinders you have, the fuel pipes feed out. So mine had a problem. To buy a new one was $1,000. So we usually repair the old ones. And I went to my guy, was fixing my car. And I still remember that day, he was doing the final tuning to hand my car to me. And all the other mechanics abandoned what they were doing to come and hang around to see the master tune an engine. No machines, nothing, just the ears. And a small piece of something is handy. We'll screw this, turn this, do this one, a Allen key. And I noticed everybody gathered and they were looking. Nobody was inside. I tell the person, you rev the engine a bit, you turn a bit, then you say, wait, go to one plug, do something. He'll go back to it. But what I remember is that everybody gathered. And I remember the prayer I prayed that day. I said, God, what will I do like this? And everybody will gather. And instantly I had my answer. Of course, which you can guess what it is. I said, the only thing I do like this and people gather is when I'm preaching. I'm not joking. I handed off struggling with people on every other thing. I still work in the university. Who will publish paper? Who will do this one? I said, listen, publish all the papers you want to become one of the numerous professors. Who cares? Increase your salary a bit. And that's the end of it. But nobody's going to call you because of that title. I said, but if anybody calls Pastor Banky, they're expecting one thing. That's why if you hear me on radio, I'm not discussing any other thing for scripture. Before, when Cosmo was dead, they used to invite me for medical talk and all of that. Later on, they invite me for medical talk. I said, sorry, I'm preaching the word on radio now. I can't do that anymore. And why not? I said, this voice, once people hear it on radio, they should know what to expect. Before that, those early days, when Cosmo was just starting there, I used to go up to Cosmo and they say, okay, today we have Dr. Kodishino around. Okay, hey. I think by one day we'll talk about fever. Now, if you hear me talking of fever on radio now, won't you think the world is coming to an end? Is it? Israel, come. Israel, is that you? Yes, Israel. Please. Please spell your own bank key properly because I heard one guy on radio. He was discussing fever. That's why I told him, I said, please, sorry, I'm not doing it again. Forget this fever thing. So I recommended another of my colleagues because they said, okay, they know him already. I said, fine, be using him now. Why are you bothering me? But then Easter, they will call me. Yes, I'll sit down. Let's talk about resurrection. And me and Wenita will sit down there and talk a full hour on the significance of resurrection. Christmas, yes. Number of Christmases I've shown up there. I'll just sit down there. All right, okay, the Jesus came. Well, then we talk about that. So once you hear this voice on radio, you know what he's talking about. I will never do political analysis with anybody. Business analysis, I think I know a bit about business. I will never do it for anybody on radio. We can sit amongst ourselves and talk. But on radio, no, this voice is not doing that. What I just did that day, after I watched that guy, I said, man, see, they queued up to listen to him. Sorry, to watch him do his work. I'm not doing something, I'm focusing on that excellent thing. Christians, please, let's set a mark in everything that we do. One thing that's very common with workmen, that is, okay, like now you go to somebody, make clothes for me. The general attitude is that they don't deliver on time. I was there, where was I? It was my office a few days ago. I was wearing something. They looked at me and said, sir, you're looking very nice. We started talking about how long does your tailor take to deliver? I said, well, I can get my stuff from him less than a month, 2 weeks. No, we just talked about that. One woman, they say, hey, that's good, though. less than 1 month. You could see what's playing up through her mind. Her own seamstress. 6 months, we'll still be quarreling. You know, that kind of thing. Now, those are areas for Christians to make a mark. We just say, listen, and you don't have to promise 2 days if you can't do 2 days. But give a date and know people can swear by that date. That's what I mean. That's what I mean by the spirit of excellence. Give a date. And look, one day I was talking with one of our people that does that kind of business. I said, my dear sister, I know something about people. Like maybe you go to your tailor and say, okay, this is a bit tight. You understand? So I've noticed something very common. Like I go to my guy then. If he measured you, I don't have this measurements of it, but let's assume that this thing is supposed to be 30 inches. So when I say, okay, it's a bit tight, he puts it down, checks it, and it's 29. So I said to him simply, why is it 29? You, as the professional, you measured me, is 30. Oh, we actually cut it with 30 in mind. It's a person that finished the joining. So if you give half an inch, you shift by half an inch when you are pulling your stitches, that's half an inch times 2. So if you do a quarter inch here, quarter inch there, you've thrown away 1 inch on both sides. You know, that is when you add it together. And 1 inch is a lot of difference when you are tailor making clothes. When you buy mass produced clothes, it doesn't matter. They did it for everybody between the height of 4 feet and 18 feet. So for some people to be tight, for some people to be loose, they know. I'm stretching that a bit. Or if there's something, it's 17. How many different sizes of human beings are 17? For some, Nigeria, the suit go rich. And what's the suit you wear? He says 17. But when you custom make something, you've measured the fellow, so it's supposed to fit. So if you shift by half an inch, it's a heavy mistake. In fact, I remember once I was in Sophisticat in Lagos. My friend was working there. And they gave the man his cap to wear. So he wore it and it dropped to his ears. So instantly somebody took a tape, measured his head, and measured the cap. And it was off by half an inch. But it's a cap. It's not easy to adjust because it's embroidered. They say, well, they've done a lot. And the man was really upset. Now, why am I telling all of this? So I tell my people, tell everybody, say, why don't you just have a checker if you don't have the time? You train him. His job is, when we are done, you have maybe like, for a top, you probably have like 5 different places you measure, you know, you measure and then you cut to, all right? Neck, length of the arm, chest, you know, stuff like that. Your job is, once you deliver, go to the record. This is for Mr. Jali Koko. Neck, check. This one, check. And if he alters by half an inch, you return it. That's why you see, you check a lot of products you buy in the market, you see tested okay. And look at it, it has boxes. Tick, 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 tick. Many of it you see is a pen. Because for each one, there's tested okay. They quickly check something, tested okay, before they stick it on it. They test a number of parameters before they release it. But those who are not blessed, they say no, the customer can manage it. Let me tell you the truth. What makes you excellent costs time, it costs money. It reduces your profit margin. I hope you get my point. Oh, it does. It does. It reduces your profit margin initially. But one thing that we must run for as believers, like I was saying yesterday, we need to give God a good name. That's one of the things we do business. And the Bible says one thing. A good name is better than silver and gold. It's better. When the Bible says something is better, you know what it means? It means it is better. It means it is better. I hope you've gotten my point. So when we are going about our whatever we are doing, please, let's never be satisfied. One thing I say all the time is this. If you see something that has been done by somebody else, the person doesn't have 2 heads. Like we're talking about Italian suits. We shouldn't be talking about Italian suits anymore. That's the way I think about it. After having heard of Italian suits, I was a young boy. Are these priests that make Italian suits? So if that's your profession, your own is that, this Italian suit idea, I should make suits they think are Italian. That's what the Chinese people did. They went to all those places and sat down there. Now, the only difference between so-called Italian suits and Chinese suits is material. If you give the Chinese man the same material, he will give you an Italian suit. And in fact, in Italy, go and check, he's probably the one sewing it now. I don't know whether you get my point. And some of these they call Italian, forget all that noise. The guys go and sew them where labor is cheap, recruit them back to their shelves, put their own label on it. When you go to all these big retail outlets for fashion in Europe and the US, they have specs that they give them in Indonesia, in Bangladesh, in India, in China. Those are the places they make those things and they bring it back. It's just that whether it's made in Indonesia or in China, in Bangladesh or in US, each one is identical. They stick to particular standards. So where they make it doesn't matter anymore. They just look for where labor is cheap. But it's sad that, you know, one day I saw one Nigerian woman that has one of those fashion houses. And they showed her factory. And guess what? They were all Chinese people working there. They showed her factory. Everybody I saw working, sewing, all of them Chinese. One major reason is that Nigerian man, they are too much in a hurry. Once I was talking to one of our brothers in the boss, they do estate development, all right, in Enugu here. I said the problem they have is to find workmen from Enugu that can do the work. So they have to import workmen from far, including Togo, Ghana. I said, why are there no workmen in Enugu? He said, oh, that Enugu man is in a hurry. They don't think his brain has a problem. That once his man, you tell, okay, lay block. Once he can put one block on the other, it doesn't fall. He's gone. Why? He has gone to Obomano to be looking for work. He's in a hurry. But the Ghanaian mason goes to a school, does exams. They test him before they allow him to go out be laying block. If you check our doors here, this door's mounted. It was mounted by a Ghanaian. Was working for Telios. I remember the day I came, the guy was... He was dressing the wall. Ah, and I was like, no be cement, this guy did dress. He would do like this. And step back and look. And spray water. And go back and do this. I was standing there, I was watching this guy. Just dressing a window. Of course, he would dress less windows in a day than the man who comes. When somebody comes later, this is not straight now. Me not living like that. If you manager now, it's an injured person. When you were telling me about an embassy being built, that one of your friends was supervising an architect. Every segment they finish, the architect must come and inspect almost with a microscope. Of course, the building is more expensive than the one beside it. We know. But then when you finish, like I told you, glory is beautiful. When they finish, they will get there and look and say, who did this thing? If your work is not head-turning yet, you're not a sinner. You just have a long way to go. And please, start early. Start moving. Pursue it. Let me stop here because my time is up. But my message this morning is what? The spirit of excellence. Thank you very much.
Spirit of excellence. Amen. That was a powerful one. Of course, always great stuff coming from Pastor Banky. Spirit of excellence. That's powerful. You know, when you are in business, especially, I think every business does, you have customers. Some people have daily customers because you sell probably provisions. Some people have clients that you see probably once in 2 years, once in 5 years. That's when you really understand that the money is in the comeback. Amen? You know, we that design things and build things, you the effect of your work is not known when they are looking at it only. It's when they begin to use your product. You may finish designing a house and your clients will move in. It's when the door begins to give trouble every day. There are too many steps. It's an old man. there are too many things not working well, the windows are small. After 5 years, he wants to build another house. And the Bible says, should we call Bishop? He said, please, don't call him more, please. Don't win any other architects. Please, call that other guy, please. I said, hey, why now? Can't you see? All the doors, none of them is working. You see the floors, everywhere is spilling off. The paint, everything. Please, I don't want any headache. That is when you know that you've lost a client. It's not that work. He probably will pay you. You get your job done. You go your way. But when he comes back, that is when you know that you've gotten a client. You see, there is a practice now. You send message when it's Independence Day. You send message to your clients, Happy Independence from Pancreas Consults. When it's Christmas, you say Happy Christmas. When is this one? Keep sending message to your clients so that they can come back. You'll be in their mind. You'll be in their faces, this and that. That's very good. But when you do a very terrible job, those text messages will be annoying. Will be very, very annoying. When they say, so look at this stupid man. How can you be saying? How can you be sending me a text message? To do what? In fact, if they are very kind, they can call you back. Please, can you stop sending those text messages? But of course, excellence is when you've given an advice, you're into consultancy. You know, we hear about, is it Peter Drucker or who now, that gave an advice for 10 minutes, that consulted for 10 minutes. Peter Daniels, thank you. That I consulted for 10 minutes. He was paid $1 million, and the company made over $100 million. You know, they couldn't have just paid him like that if what he consulted them for did not work out. If I come and tell you, brother, okay, you're having a problem like this, so why don't you do this, do that? You do it, and the business collapse. When you see me tomorrow, you say, how now? If you want other advice, you would look for someone else. I don't know if you understand. So excellence actually sometimes is doing the little thing extra. That little thing extra is the excellence that differentiates you from this guy. What Pastor was describing about missing men, I work with them on a daily basis. If you hear what some terrible things, some of them will tell you when you tell them that this your work is not straight. For one particular one told me, Oga Bishop, white man no dey live for this wall, oh. As in, you told him that this wall is not straight. How can you plaster a wall like this? This wall is not. You do it. The man will not live in the wall now. It's inside this space that he will live in. It's not the wall. I was surprised. I said, what did you say? Because the first time he said it, I didn't really get it. That the white man will not live inside the wall. That is inside the space. I said, he said what? He said, that the man will live inside here now. That he will not live on the wall. I said, okay, no problem. I sacked him. Long matter storm. Because my work is not to be teaching you work. My work is to direct you. This is what you're supposed to do. You get it right, I tell you. If you don't get it right, I correct you. And it's an attitude. Thank you very much. It's an attitude. When we talk about these Togolese guys, when Hermite came to the site, he asked, who are these people? Where are they from? I told him, this one is an Hausa man. This one is from Togo. This is the only Igbo guy here. Remember that day he came? These guys, like three or four of them from Togo. This one, Hausa man. Only one person, Igbo. You don't see our people getting into handiwork anymore. It's terrible. It's not only, even to go and repair watch now, you'll be looking for watch repairer, you won't find. Yes. Go and find watch repairers in the market. The ones you find in the market are very old men. Old people. Old people. We want it fast, quick, quick cash. That is the problem. Pastor Kimoto was praying earlier on. He was talking about those going into, you know, you are in education, but you think it's not work. You are looking for something better so I can switch. That is the problem. That's education sector where you are teaching, you are doing something. What extra are you doing? I know it can be difficult. When I moved into the new school where I teach, I came from the private sector. So I had all this zeal. I had all this culture of delivering on time, of things being done rightly, you know, all the culture of the private sector. I got there with all my zeal, with all my training, with everything. You get there. You think this is, you just want things to be done right. You just want it to be done, you know, this is the way to do things. Bah, bah, bah. They will give you a job, you will do it straight. It will not get to the next person before you now get to HOD. Person will just stay 2 weeks. I say, chief, how far now? That thing that's report, I have something to HOD is asking about it. I say, hey, you give it to him, you give it. 1 month, the thing has not moved. You come to a meeting. In the private sector, they encourage everybody to express themselves. In the public sector, it's not like that. You express yourself and someone says, okay, when it comes to assessment, I will show you. And because of that, all the younger people that only sit down, they look. You only sit down and watch. Allow the big guys talk. It's not like that. So somehow, it may be difficult for someone around that area to show excellence to a certain level. But of course, your own area, your own course that you teach, your own students that you interact with on a daily basis, what are you doing extra to influence them, to affect their lives, to impact their lives? Spirit of excellence is an attitude. It is not. And one of the things that help you with spirit of excellence is when you begin to remove your mind from money, it begins to help you. If you still have money as your focus, it will disturb a lot of things about you. It will disturb a lot of things about you. I have a client that I'm working with right now. I've learned a lot working with him. A lot about excellence, a lot about handling money, a lot about how to use money. Sometimes God sends you such people. Sometimes God sends you some people that will really treat you very bad so as to help you build patience. Sometimes God sends you people that will help you build your excellence, to raise your excellent level. That is the truth. So you have to be very sensitive to the one that God is taking you through. Is it time to learn patience? Is it time to up my ante on excellence? Is it time to, you know, build my people skill? Some people have very poor people skill. You need that very much in your business and in your career. If you don't understand, if you don't know how to relate with people, work with people, accommodate people, you'll be falling out with people all the time. You'll be having issues with people, even with your customers and your clients. So you also need to learn that it's here and there. You keep picking the lessons. Amen? Amen? So please, let us understand that the spirit of excellence is what will make us different from the world around us. In season and out of season, when it's selling and when it's not selling, when it's making money for us and when it's not making money for us, the spirit of excellence is what is going to differentiate us from the world around us. When you see what these big guys you heard and then what they are doing, how they are perfecting their you will just marvel. Go and look at what Mark Zuckerberg is doing with Facebook. The expansions they are doing, how they are putting fine touches to everything they are doing. When he was in Nigeria here, one of their satellites they were about to launch crashed because some other people were trying to test their nonsense. And something over $9 billion or something just crashed like that. But somehow, they didn't give up. They are back to it again, working on that same thing again. Jeff Bezos and co. Amazon, see what they are doing. How they are setting up satellites so that from anywhere you are, you can access. My God, it's just mind-blowing. You just see that you can't afford to just be a local player. You can't just afford to be doing, manage it like that. I can manage it now. No, let's remove that mindset of manage it and seek to give our customers, our clients the best. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's have our second speaker for today. And we'll be rounding off. Our brother, Olayinka Oyekomi, the chief sage.
Praise the Lord. Please, I want us to close our eyes and pray about that spirit of excellence. I was so driven about it. Just ask God for a spirit of excellence. Just ask God to help. Say, Lord, give me that spirit of excellence. Let it enter me. Let it dwell with me. Let it abide with me. I choose the spirit of excellence. Lord, help me to walk in excellence in all that I do. Help me to be faithful in the work that you have put in my hands, that I may do excellently in all that I do. Lord, I desire it. I ask for it. In my heart of hearts, Lord, I call upon you. Give me the spirit of excellence. Let my work reflect you. Let my work reflect you. Lord, give me the spirit of excellence. Help me, Father, to stand firm despite the distractions everywhere. Lord, help me to carry that spirit of excellence in my workplace. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. When Pastor was preaching about the spirit of excellence, I was happy and I was also sad. I was remembering all the unexcellent. I started compiling list of clients. I said, this client, I didn't do excellent with him. Let me go and apologize. Praise the Lord. But I also did one job recently for somebody, and they said it was the best job in the Southeast. So that one comforted me small. I said, this one excellent. The other ones fail. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Please, let's remember that we're going to take questions. So let's write out the questions that you may have in your mind concerning any area of business from your personal experiences and things you've been forced to deal with. Please, let's write them down. Praise the Lord. Well, what I was thinking about is also based on a few things that I've heard Pastor teach about, and that is the fact that we are the salt of the earth. Amen? Amen. I remember I was reading the Bible. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, and it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Fantastic. It's God that created it. And then the next thing, the earth was without form and void. Praise the Lord. That is, God had just finished creating it, but the thing has scatter. And then God started working on it till it became where men could stay. And the Bible says he planted a garden. Praise the Lord. The garden was not just like it grew by itself. Now, what that taught me is that in almost everything that is in society, things need to get done. Thinking about, Pastor talking about the spirit of excellence, if you find out to keep a road clean, what goes into keeping a road clean is heavy work. That is, I remember Ben Carson talking about that they used to go to one express somewhere to go and pick paper. They'll be picking paper. That's what keeps the road clean. It's not spirits that pick the paper. Somebody goes there to pick it. And the truth of the matter is that there's work for us to do. There are assignments that we are supposed to do. You know? And that's where, you know, for society to be ordered, Christians are needed. Because you find out that the way people move, that is, the normal man, is that where the money is, they follow. So this thing in Nigeria is very common. Pure water business is thriving. Before you know what, everybody is pure water in. Then pure water stops thriving. The next thing that is thriving is Everybody will enter the place. However, there are several areas where there are gaps. We complain, all of us here, we complain about the things that are failing in our economic system, you know, in Nigeria. And many of these things, they are the assignments that we have to do. Sometimes you say that, but I have to earn money to sustain myself. And I put it back to you that that's one of the challenges that you have to deal with. That is one of the challenges you have to deal with is, how do I do this work? And in the place of doing this work, I'm also earning a living. There's this girl, her first name is Tosin. I can't remember her surname. She runs a social, they call it social enterprise, you know. They use that social enterprise to downplay the pursuit of profit. And it's called Rise Networks, you know. Yes, she does training, she does a lot of this talk for young people all around, you know. And in the place of doing that, in fact, the last one they are doing now is that they are sponsoring a few Nigerian students in partnership with Ford Foundation to go for some training. That's Nigerian students who are leaders in Nigerian universities, SUG leaders. I know how our SUG leaders are naturally. The drive for being SUG leader is to be almost a thug, a fighter, killer, and move with the radical politicians. But now, you know, when they take them through a school of leadership, you find out that there's a departure from that. Because many times when people behave somehow, it's because they don't know something. Now, you now find out that when this woman now partners with Ford Foundation, one way or the other, they capture her own salary into it. So she earns a living.